Let's first open with a hymn, first and last verse of number 70, I Surrender All. Father, as we bow before you this morning, it's just so good to know that you exhort us to pray. And Lord, your scripture is filled with exhortation to pray for one another. And here we are, Lord. And so we know that we will be blessed because we came mindful of your great blessing to all of your children, Lord, and giving us the power of prayer, mighty in God, to bring down the strongholds of the evil one and to come against every argument against your word. And so, Lord, we want to look at your word again this morning as it relates to prayer. But first, we just want to get our hearts right and just want to join together and sing a couple of stanzas of this hymn, I Surrender All. And easy words to say, but far more difficult to really mean and do. So lead us and guide us now as we go forward this morning. And thank you for bringing the ones here that are here, and anyone else on their way, protect them and bring them here as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin by first and fourth verse of I Surrender All, number 70. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Well, we're going to deviate just a little bit this morning from our prayers through the Bible. I was reading a book of prayer this week, and the writer loves the Lord. He is very anointed and knows the word very well, but he made some statements in his book that I don't agree with, and I thought it would just be good to go to the word and look at it just a little bit. And this is in James 5, where it tells us about praying. And so James 5, just want to look through verses 13 through 16. And one of the main aspects of this that I wanted to just focus on a little bit this morning is verse 16, which says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the thrust in this book I was reading was that all of sickness is based on sin, and you've got to confess your sin, and if you confess your sin before another, then God will heal you. And that is reaching too far, because that's not really that there's a part of that that's true, but it's not all true. And how often people mistakenly look at somebody that's sick, and like Job, they're miserable comforters. And they say, well, there's got to be sin in your life or you would be well by now, you know, and these kinds of things. So just wanted to look at what the word says here for just a moment. So beginning at verse 13. There are some instructions here as what we're to do. Is any among you suffering or in affliction, and how often that does occur? And then it says, let him pray. Let him pray. It doesn't say necessarily call on others, but of course you can. Later we'll get to calling on others. But here it says the responsibility, if you're suffering, is prayer. And how often I believe that the Lord allows afflictions in our life to hear from us. You know, hey, it's good to hear from you again. And when we're in affliction, it's easy to pray, isn't it? Because we cry out. And the other aspect of that is anyone cheerful, let him sing. That word Psalms is not in the original here in James. It is in Ephesians, where Paul says singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. So I think it's okay to have, I mean, when I say okay, what am I? I'm nothing, but I mean my idea. When it says let him sing psalms, that psalms really is not in the original. It could just be, is anyone cheerful, let him sing. And I think we do need to make sure our life is balanced with singing and praising to the Lord. And how often you hear people say, I'm so dry, the Lord is so far away, I used to have this vibrant relationship with him, but I just won't have it anymore. And a real good question usually to ask gently and in a loving way is, how often during the day do you just sing praises to the Lord? And almost always they will say, oh, I don't. I say, well, that would really help. You know, if you sing praises to the Lord and it gets your mind off of yourself and onto him, and all of a sudden you find your relationship with him much more vibrant, closer. And then regarding healing of illness, is anyone among you sick? Let him call. So here we see if there is illness involved, then the responsibility is on the person who's ill to let others know. Sometimes we hear of people who are sick and they get all upset because nobody calls on them. Nobody prays for them. But, you know, if nobody knows you're sick, it's kind of hard to pray for somebody. So if you're sick, call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Interesting how the denominations take this verse for the most part. They say, well, that verse applied only to the time in history when the gift of healing was so evident. It applied during the time of Christ. It applied in terms of the apostles. And then people say, well, why did the early church fathers say about anointing with oil and pray for healing? Well, there was some gift of healing in the first couple of hundred years of the church. But since then, that gift isn't apparent anymore, so this doesn't really apply. Well, I think you and I probably have all seen the Lord will choose to heal or he won't heal. It's in his sovereign will. But we want to anoint with oil and pray for healing because that's what we're told to do, right? And it is a release of faith, and it is not the oil itself that heals anybody any more than when we get medicine. Medicine itself does not heal anybody. But the Lord may use that, and so where we're to anoint with oil and healing in the name of the Lord, which is really important. It's not in the name of the fellow or the woman praying. It's in the name of the Lord, and that's where the strength is. And then it says a prayer of faith, and I believe that's belief on both the person praying as well as the person being prayed for. Prayer of faith, prayer of belief will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, we do have examples in the scripture. You know, when the four guys brought the man and he cut a hole in the roof and let him down for him to be healed, you know, the first thing Jesus says, what is your sins are forgiven you, right? Mm-hmm. And so some authors, they make a big deal out of that. That's the first thing that, and that's the reason you're sick is because there's sin in your life. It can be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. And the very next verse, in that verse says what? And if he has committed sins. The if means, it doesn't mean that, yes, you've committed sins, that's why you're sick. If you have committed sins, sin is an element. I mean, we see, for example, if you're, well, let's say venereal disease. If you got venereal disease and you're continuing to, you know, mess around, that's obviously related to sin. There's other examples. That's just one that came to mind because we kind of think of that in what we read about some of David's things and so forth. But if there is sin involved, we do want to have our sins confessed, just like we talked about before with, you remember we were in Psalm 51 a few weeks ago, and the Lord told David that he did not want sacrifices. What he wants is a broken and a contrite heart. But then after the broken and contrite heart, then he says, I want your sacrifices and I want your burnt offerings. And so we talked about that. The ritual cannot replace forgiveness of sins and repentance. In other words, we can't just say, well, I've sinned, so I'm going to go to church from now on for the next 4 weeks and then everything's fine. Going to church isn't going to help your sin at all if that's all you're doing is just going to church, or any more than offering bulls of sacrifice, so to speak. If it is just ritual, it's not going to do it. And then verse 16 is where I really wanted to focus on this morning for just a minute. Confess your trespasses to one another. Well, what does that mean? Well, I wrote in the margin of my Bible, reconciliation, and I wrote in my margin also others. I think that this is my opinion. I looked at a few commentators, and they're kind of all over the map on this. But I think this would apply to where you've hurt somebody. This would apply to where you have maybe tempted somebody or caused them in some way to get into sin, or maybe you've even participated in the sin with them. I think it's very important to acknowledge your part of this, your role in this. You look at Daniel's prayer, you look at Nehemiah's prayer, and you see how they say, "We have sinned," right? We have sinned. And I think humility is wrapped up in this as well, because we want to acknowledge our part in this. We don't want to come to somebody and say, "You've sinned," when we're both involved, and you're holier than thou, right? But the other person is the one that's wrong. They should confess their sins and so forth. I think we're to confess our role in it as well. We're to confess our, this word trespasses, peripatomai, is not really harmatia, which is a typical sin. This is trespass, and trespass can be sin. It also can be just slipping up. It can be a lapse. But whatever it is that we've been involved with, I think we are to confess that to one another as it applies to them. And that is applies to reconciliation. I do not think this means you're to go to others and tell them everything that's amiss in your life. I don't think that's what this means at all. Also, it says one another. It doesn't say go to the priest, does it? So some of the orthodoxies have some trouble with this verse because they want the whole thing to be, you can't really confess your trespasses to anybody other than somebody with a collar on or something, and that's not what this says. But confess your trespasses to one another and acknowledge your role. You remember in Matthew 5, Jesus said what? If you take your offering to the altar, and there you remember something against a brother, what do? You leave your gift at the altar, or you don't present it there until you go take care of the issue with the other brother, right? And then take your gift to the altar. So I think that's a little bit of what we have here. We are to confess our trespasses to one another that we could reconcile the situation, that we could help them. Now, I do think there are times you may want to confess some shortcomings that you may have in your life that you want a close friend or maybe a pastor to pray for. You know, hey, I'm really struggling in this area. Would you pray for me in this area? Because I'm seeking really forgiveness and pardoning from the Lord in it, but I keep doing it or whatever, and I'm having a trouble. And would you pray for me in this area? I think that is good. But just to say, call up somebody and say, "Hey, I want to confess all my sins to you," I don't think that's what this means. And then it says that you may be healed. Now, again, some of the healing books will try to relate this all to healing of sickness. It can be, but I think there's other. The word heal here just means to restore. This can be to be made whole. If you confess your sins and you have prayer, wholeness comes, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean necessarily that this is taking the disease out of your body, I don't think. And then it, of course, ends by saying the affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we have the Bible full of those examples. He gives one right here with Elijah. But we have all kinds of instances where where prayer is effective. And you have instances in your life, I know, that you can point to and say, "We prayed and this is what happened." You know, unbelievable. And so we are to pray, and we're to pray fervently. We're not just to play ho-hum. I mean, you know, the Lord knows if your really heart is serious or not, or if you're just going through the motions, you know. That's kind of like a prayerless prayer almost, isn't it? So, in summary, then, I think that where reconciliation is involved and where you can think of yourself as being part of the problem, where there's humility involved and where you're not just above it all and everybody else is wrong and I'm always right, I don't think so. And, of course, where we've hurt one another, where we've tempted one another. Or there's another place where, let's say, there's a crime, so to speak, of a public nature. Or an issue of a public nature, I think it'd be good to come before the public and confess your sins, you know. But again, you know, is that going to be true from the heart, or is it just a politician trying to get reelected and saying, "Oh, I'm sorry that, you know, I did all these wrong things," and they just continue to do them. We need to be right before the Lord here. And if you want a friend or a pastor to help in your situation of praying for something, then it's good to... would be good to share that with them. But don't think you got to tell everybody of all your things, because I don't think that's what that means. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, I pray that as we look at the scriptures, that they will speak to each of us in the way that we need to be spoken to in the place that we are. And we're here this morning, Lord, to pray, and Lord, there is so much to pray for. We want to pray for our church. We want to pray for our pastor. We want to pray for Bob Hoekstra and David Hocking, Lord. We want to pray for the missionaries, Lord, as are led. We want to pray for whatever you put on our hearts, Lord, as well as our nation. We want to pray for Israel, the world leaders, for the fear of God in their eyes and so forth. And as you lead us, to pray for the lost. And Lord, we are here to begin this day in prayer. And what a blessing it is to know that you're encouraging us to pray, and that you already know everything we're going to be prompted to pray for. We don't know that yet, Lord, but we want to be available and open, and we want to be in agreement. And we know if we're all responding to you, we'll all be in one accord. And so we pray for that this morning. And lead us and guide us now, we pray in Jesus' name.